Welcome back to the Fury Electric Studios. Give us a call at 433-1037 and send us your live fan feedback at 1037thebuzz.com. Now, back to the zone with Justin Acri.
And Chris Kane and Jason Alley and Matty T. Here's an interesting story, I thought. I've got a few college football stories I want to get into, but we need to talk a little high school here. High school championships this weekend. What a wild weekend last weekend. Cabot beats North Little Rock in double overtime. Greenwood's 50-game win streak snapped.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Just like that. And talk about the weather coming up for this weekend.
Yeah, they're already
for these games.
They're already putting a contingency plan in for the game, I guess, on Friday night.
It could be wet and icy at parts. And for some of these teams traveling from around the state, the roads could be an issue for sure.
Yeah, what is this, a Super Bowl? So Cabot Bentonville this weekend. We got Central Arkansas against Northwest Arkansas. What they should have done is said if Cabot wins, War Memorial gets to keep two games a year, and if Bentonville wins, they lose all the games. They should have played for the games at the stadium. That's how appropriate. It's held at War Memorial anyway. That's the game Friday night, weather permitting, at 7 o'clock, and it's a game you can hear here on the Buzz. And then on Saturday, the late game is El Dorado and Pine Bluff. Great matchup there. Pine Bluff, 37-34 over Greenwood. And El Dorado squeezes one out over Jonesboro, 23-21.
A lot of respect. Both those coaches are fantastic.
No
there.
Question. Then the 5A game, which is the early game on Saturday, Batesville-Morrilton. And the Devil Dogs. Devil Dogs! Knocked off PA to get there. Love
upset.
That is an upset, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a high-scoring game, too. And they did a great job. I think it was like 57-50 or something like that. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, you got to hang in with PA.
No doubt. And at their place, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Other news in high school. This from Newtown, Connecticut, which is a city that will live in infamy, of course. 12-0 this season in high school football. Amazing story.
Incredible.
Season dedicated to the 26 victims killed in the mass shooting at the elementary school. And they were actually slated to play the championship game on the anniversary of the shooting. And this is where this doesn't happen often enough where common sense prevails and the right thing happens, but they're going to move the championship game
if they make it.
If they make it by a day so they won't have to play on the anniversary, which is the right thing to do. It's pretty amazing. Although there is part of me that thinks that playing on the anniversary and overcoming and winning would be such a great tribute.
I feel the same way.
Which is a great tribute either way, but still.
Yeah. And they all have the number 26 on their helmets on the side. The number of victims. And that's what they've played on with all season long. Wow. Yeah, it's
good for them.
Very inspirational.
It is.
They host a team actually tonight in the quarterfinals, which is weird. They play on a Tuesday. If they win, they play in the semifinals on Saturday, which is a tough
that's a quick
tough
turnaround.
Schedule. Yeah.
Man.
And then the finals are December 13th and 14th, and the anniversary, I guess, is the 14th, so we'll certainly be spending some time looking back on that, which is – it all sort of started happening as we were going off the air. I remember Trey and Matt coming in and then sort of focusing their show on. It was such a – I mean, we had heard that there might have been a school shooting. We didn't know much from a detail standpoint. And obviously the news got worse and worse and worse as the day went on. It was such a horrible deal.
Yeah.
Let me get Mark in here real quick, and then I've got a couple other things I want to hit on BCS and college football-wise. Hi, Mark. Mark?
Oh, yes, yes.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
What's up?
What's up, dude?
Hey, is this Justin?
Yep.
Hey, I heard you say a little bit about giving, and immediately I thought of a verse in Luke where Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you." And I thought about that, and I was like, what is that? It's like something pressed down, running over, kind of dropped into your lap. So when you said that, there is a principle, but obviously the motive and the premise of that is not, hey, I'm going to get a whole lot. No, it's like, I love to give, because better is one who gives than those who receive. But when you live by that principle, it's going to come back to you in ways you never imagined.
That's right. Like if you buy a $20 gift card, it comes back to you in the way of a smoothie. What a deal.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
It is, yeah.
It's a micro
good example.
So that is a principle of life, and right from the mouth of Jesus who got it all covered there.
How do you feel about people that lie about taking jobs and then end up taking the job? Because Steve Sarkisian's catching some heat over taking the job at USC after telling a local radio station and his players, apparently, that he was not going to take the job at USC when it came up. Anyway, Mark, I'll let you go now. I appreciate the call, though. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.
Mark's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't think there's anything in the Bible about that. Troy Williams, the quarterback at Washington, not a big fan of Steve Sarkisian's right now, who took the job. And frankly, I can't really imagine why he wouldn't if you give him the opportunity. With all due respect to Washington, a once very proud program It is not USC. Williams attended Los Angeles powerhouse Narbonne, where he was twice named City Section Player of the Year before he committed to Washington, and he tweeted out yesterday, Trey Wingo retweeted it, "Don't ever commit because of a coach. Faker than a $3 bill."
Woo!
Not happy. Apparently not as mad, though, as Ed Orgeron, who quit immediately after the announcement was made that Steve Sarkisian was coming back to USC. According to Brett McMurphy of ESPN, Ed Orgeron was outraged he was passed over for Steve Sarkisian for the head coaching gig.
I heard there's an opening in Washington.
Yeah, there you go.
And Wake Forest now.
Jim Grobe retired?
Jim Grobe resigned.
Retired,
however you want to put it.
Remember,
yes.
He was this close to becoming the Arkansas coach?
These close.
That would have been bad.
Whew.
He's a... Like,
how did Coach O go about this?
I mean, it shouldn't have been a surprise to him that he wasn't going to get the job, right?
If he'd have beaten UCLA maybe at the end.
Here's my take on this whole situation. They hired a guy. They probably told Coach Orgeron, hey, we want to move in a different direction. Yeah. We appreciate what you've done, yada, yada, yada. But then they go back and hire a guy that was at the school and basically a Pete Carroll, you know, a protege. And he was there at the time of all the sanctions. He came back the year that they got taken away. I don't get how they're trying to move forward from this, you know, this past that was kind of shady with Reggie Bush and the Leinart and whatnot. And they're bringing a guy back that was a part of all that. It makes no sense at all. They're not. I'm not saying he's not a good hire and he's not a good coach, but they needed to start fresh and clean. And if Peterson turns you down, you go somewhere else. But I don't think you hire someone who is best friends with a coach that you just fired.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird to me.
You know, there are two different arguments there, Chris. And one is it a good hire? The other one is it?
It's not a bad hire. It's not a great hire.
His record isn't all that great.
He was 5-7, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 8-4.
I think he's an excellent coach. I don't think it's a very good hire for the reasons you outlined. I think USC can command a little more high profile coach that's a can't miss or less of a can miss proposition.
Yeah, and I think he's gonna be a pretty good fit for that job. He's a good recruiter, much better with the media than Kiffin was. But the whole mindset of the program was supposed to be, hey, we're almost at the end of the sanctions right now. We got a couple years left, and then we want to move past it, move on. Oh, we're gonna bring a guy back that was hired right in the middle of all of it, and he stayed around for a few years after that before going up to Washington. It makes no sense to me. It was almost like they struck out on all their hires and they freaked out, went to him, and they knew he would say yes, so they hired him.
Well, there's something to be said for familiarity. I mean, people will do that.
Oh, yeah, he's very familiar. His quarterback was from L.A.
And I know there are a lot of people sitting around and go, well, there was a guy there.
At Washington. You know,
pretty familiar with, and they didn't hire him. Now he's at Auburn, and now he's winning games.
And, hey, how about this? the highly touted quarterback at USC right now actually is from Washington.
Really?
So he didn't stay home and go with the Huskies. He went down to USC, and now it's going to be his guy.
Wow.
Well, him or one of the two Maxes.
Two guys I don't like in college football. Well, one of
them. Urban Meyer?
Actually, there are three.
Nick Saban?
Lane Kiffin. He's not in college football.
Yeah, you can't put him in that classification.
Bo Pelini is one of those guys I don't like, and I reveled in the fact that I got to watch him.
Just melt down.
Yeah, lose the other day. Iowa smacked him around, and then he went nuts afterwards.
He said I got too close to him. I thought that was a chicken call. Excuse my language on that, but I've never seen anything like that before. I've done a lot worse than that, and I saw Kirk Ferentz over on the other side acting a lot worse than I act. I didn't see a flag come out on him. The bottom line is they knew they blew the call. They blew that call over there on that third down. And everybody in the stadium knew it. They didn't man up enough to pick that flag up. You guys have chose to make a story of it all year. It's impacted our football team. And it's hurt our football team. Let's call a spade a spade. If they want to fire me, go ahead. I believe in what I've done. I don't apologize for what I've done. I don't apologize to you. I don't apologize to anybody, myself or this staff.
Maybe you should. Bo Pelini needs to apologize to somebody because he got reprimanded and fined $10,000 for those comments after getting his butt kicked at home to Iowa to end the regular season for Nebraska. The guy's an embarrassment, but it's going to cost him $7 million in go-away money to get him to leave.
And
so they're going to keep him on board.
Yeah. He wins.
He won, and then he got beat.
So he may be an embarrassment at this point, you know, where they're, what, 8 wins this year or something like that? Was that the second lowest he's been the whole time?
No doubt.
It's been 10, 9, 9, 8,
But he's
9.
A bad guy, and he's an embarrassment to the program, Chris. I mean, the guy has no class at all.
Well,
and there's more to it than just winning football games. That's the most important thing, admittedly. But the guy's an embarrassment. I mean, again, this is the kind of stuff you get when Bo Pelini's your head coach.
Coach, what was your reaction to the two early interceptions? Well, what do you think? What kind of question is that?
That's your guy, okay?
Yeah, shrewd.
A, grow up.
Yeah.
B, the question was stupid and poorly posed, admittedly. I don't disagree with that.
But you don't
take it
man.
Out. Yeah, you don't take it out on the guy for it.
I mean, at least give him a sarcastic comment like, I was thrilled about it. I thought it really got us focused. I mean, something. Don't be so obvious. He's a jaguar.
A great follow on Twitter, by the way, is fake Bo Pelini. If you don't follow him, you're missing out. Hilarious.
You need to retweet more of that so I can catch it off
of
your Twitter feed.
I do. I typically do.
Okay.
Pay attention.
Jimbo Fisher, that's me. Jimbo Fisher says Jameis Winston and his legal status should not factor into voters' evaluation of the Seminoles. I think the team is safe if they win. I don't think his Heisman votes are very safe if they don't settle out this. Problem is they're not going to settle out whether they're going to be charged, I assume, before Sunday.
It's going to end up hurting them not settling.
Yeah, and the thing that's going to suck is if next Wednesday they come out and go, you know what, we're not going to file any charges, we don't feel like there's a case
too
here.
Late.
Too late.
Yeah.
Everybody already put their vote in.
Yeah.
It is, and it's unfortunate. Now, if they charge him, then those who decided not to vote for him will be thrilled, I'm sure.
He's passed for almost 3,500 yards and 35 touchdowns.
He's the legit winner.
He's
the legit winner.
He is the only pick. He is the most obvious best player on the best team.
Yep.
He is the only Heisman pick, except for he has an unbelievably gigantic cloud hanging over his head right now. Which sucks for him, for the program, for everybody. Yep.
And these aren't NCAA sanctions. This is the law. This is the
real
actual
world
police, federal investigators looking into this. This isn't like, well, did he take money? Did he not?
What kills me is they're like, well, we've got a murder case that we're trying. I'm thinking, A, you're Tallahassee. I'm going to guess you have more than one investigator / prosecutor that can combo up on this and get this thing done.
Mm-hmm. It is the state capitol.
It's politics.
Yeah, that's my point. The other thing is... Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's in the town that Florida State is. Wouldn't you want to expedite?
Exactly.
You know? And again, I'm not saying special treatment put his case above everybody else's, but this is time sensitive in that no other case is. I mean, it is going to impact negatively your community if you end up not filing charges and he loses the Heisman. How dumb are you going to look?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we can't rush it. Well, guess what? It happened in December. You already dropped the ball on it, you morons.
Yeah.
You owe the kid...
Yeah.
The procedure to get it done
just
quickly.
Looks like they don't want to drop the ball again, and they just want to
take
their time on.
Yeah, they're putting football in perspective, though. It's football, and they're treating a murder case. So think about that too. It's a murder case, and they're saying, "Well, you're talking about football." I know what you're saying. His sanctions are very bad, or his
no, but my
potential
point
charges
is,
are bad. But Heisman or a murder case?
No, but Chris, they have other people that can handle this. Do they only have one prosecutor that can handle this? I'm going to guess that one guy doesn't do all the criminal trials in Tallahassee.
No,
think?
I don't think
that's
so.
That's my point.
There must be
a
The one guy is about 70 years old, too, by the way.
Well, but my point is, does Larry Jegley prosecute individually every single case that rolls through his office?
No.
He's got a bunch of assistant and deputy prosecutors. That's what they do.
Maybe a high-profile case like this, though, they want it to be
the
top guy.
Yeah, guess what? High-profile last December. You already dropped the ball. Yeah. Now you're going to screw the kid out of a Heisman, potentially.
Well, didn't they try to cover it up or something? Wasn't there something
A big debate. Her lawyer says they decided not to pursue it. We pushed for it. The only time we didn't talk to them was when she was in counseling. They say she didn't want to press charges the whole time. Yeah. Well, bottom line is they should
have
a team of people working on it 24/7 to move
it
along
done.
Because it's been almost a year now.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, Thursday, something on a much lighter note and a lot more fun is we're going to be at Jones Brothers. You're not on the show that day, I don't think, but I encourage you to come by. I've